You are listening to episode number 269 of the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast.
We don't need no thought control. No dark sarcasm in the classroom.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another episode of the Mighty Warriors Team Marvel Podcast. Today, we are the Trailer Park Congressional of Marvel Idiots. I am your host, Ben from Texas. I don't know why I'm confusing shit. It's been a long day. Joining me is the man who secretly wants to be the Black Panther, Taser. Taser, welcome back to the show.
You said it as I was drinking fruit punch, you fucker.
I can't see what you're doing. That sounds like a you problem, not a me.
Fruit punch? Okay.
Hey, would you like a Hawaiian punch? Sure. Anyway, hey, everybody, how y'all doing?
Joining us next is the man whose team was eliminated by my team in the American League Divisional Playoffs, Mr. Brian Powers. Brian, welcome back to the show.
Look, it's not fair. You fuckers picked up Pablo Sanchez from fucking backyard baseball, okay? It's bullshit. You can't have that guy on your team. Everyone knows he's the best. Bullshit.
Backyard baseball, good job. Next one.
The Pats are back on the top of their division. I'll take what I can get at this point.
And last but not least is the man whose connection can hopefully remain stable for the rest of the episode. This is Jonathan Cotwright. Jonathan, welcome back.
Hi, and unlike me, where I'm kind of unstable due to dealing with idiots from homecoming this last weekend, thank you, Oshikawa, for beating Miller. And thank you for
being the... Wow, that was horrible.
John, we can't understand a single word you're saying, man.
You sound like you are stroking out right now.
Okay.
10 minutes of clarity. His intro, complete shit.
How about now?
You sound better now. Let's move on. Less talking, the better. All right. In case you haven't, in case this is your first episode, we are the Mighty Warriors Team Marvel Podcast. We are a podcast dedicated to all things Marvel because we are the Congress of Marvel Idiots. Let's get right at it. Today we're just talking nothing about fucking trailers. So let's talk about the one that's not being talked about as much, and that is the Runaways trailer that was released, which is launching on Hulu this November. I just saw a trailer literally about 5 minutes ago, and one, it looks like a grittier version of an ABC show, which I don't know how to feel about that. It definitely looks like, I'm not a huge fan of Runaways. I always found them super annoying for whatever reason. They've never been my thing. I know a whole bunch of people who are a couple of years younger than us, preferably Brian's age, love the Runaways, but they've never been a thing for me. But the show looks good. It looks more entertaining than Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you know, or it looks definitely better in Inhumans but then again, a lot of things are better than Inhumans, so the least said about that show is better. But I mean, is this going to make me get a Hulu subscription account? Probably not, but it looks good. Looks all right. I like the kids. They show have powers. The Runaways never had costumes, right? They were always just kids in street clothes, right?
Yeah, no, they had some, like, aesthetic things, like the magic girl has a magic staff, and one of the girls can turn, like, rainbow tie-dye, but other than that, they didn't have a dedicated outfit or anything like that.
Okay, so, like, costumes aren't a thing to worry about just to make sure they have somewhat the same visual quirks. A little creepy, though, with the cult family. Like, that was a little weird. Like, what the hell were they doing to that girl? That was weird. That's the only question I had. That was fucking weird.
Well, part of their shtick is that they embrace a deal with, like, a demon or something like that in order to get their powers, and that's kind of the whole deal. They walk in on that, and they're like, oh, shit, our parents are actually fucking evil. So they, you know, they run away, in case you didn't get that from the title there. All right. But, yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. It looks all right. I don't know if I'm going to want to get a Hulu subscription for it, but it looks all right. Taser, you cynical bastard, what did you think of this?
It looked teeny. Yeah, and I mean teeny as in teenager. I'll admit that the whole thing with the red robes and, you know, they got the chick in the white and, you know, she disrobes and like, are they going to stab her? Are we getting blood in this? And, you know, yeah, that didn't really happen so much. But, like with everything, I'll give it at least the first episode. You know, I'm not the biggest Runaway fan. As a matter of fact, what was it, a couple of days, I had to ask Brian some stuff because I think I've read maybe one issue out of everything that they've ever done. And, it didn't stick with me, so that kind of said something. But I'll give it a shot. You know, it's something Marvel. It's something new. And, yeah, you know, I bet you A-Train will watch this because he loves the Runaways. I'll give it a try. That's really all I can say.
Brian, what did you think of this trailer since you're a super fan of the Runaways?
I wouldn't call myself a super fan, but I checked it out.
I would.
Oh, you would, huh?
Well, I would do it anyway, just to bother you.
Yeah, of course you would, you son of a bitch. I thought it was good. I mean, the kids are all relatively new, so that's one thing. But, I mean, James Marsden sticks out like a sore thumb in this, and he seems to be one of the gang ringleaders of the parents, so I'm looking forward to seeing how that plays out. But I thought it was good. I thought it portrayed a genuine image of kids who find out their parents are demon-bargaining supervillains. And, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing how it plays out. I mean, with everything that goes on in the book versus how much I think they'll actually get to the screen before, say, season two and all that bullshit, I mean, you know, I anticipate a lot of kids getting their legs, figuring out how they're special, because that's another thing, too. On top of finding out their parents are evil, they start to develop their own power sets and that sort of thing. You know, it's a big puberty allegory, kind of. You know, rebel against your parents and your body changes and all that bullshit. But suffice to say, I thought the trailer put on a good show of showing just how fucked up it is finding out your parents are supervillains. Not that I would know, but you know, like Iggy was saying, the cult stuff was definitely something where it was like, you know, you walk in on your parents sacrificing some poor girl. That's gonna, you know, it's gonna get under your skin a little bit. But no, yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to it. I mean, I was gonna check it out no matter what anyway. So the trailer just kind of puts a little extra, puts a little extra sauce on it, so to speak. And I'm here for it, man. I'm game. I want to see James Marsden as a Marvel supervillain kind of wrecking house, and if he does it with half the skill he did Spike with, I mean, it's bound to be something that'll wow me, and I'm looking forward to it. And the kids all appear to be rock solid, too. I really like that. Nico and Alex Wilder, excuse me. Alex Wilder, for those of you who don't know, he's the bespectacled black kid who's been at the forefront of every imagery. And I'm really looking forward to seeing how his story pays off. So if you read the books, you know what I mean. But no, man, I'm excited for it. I'm ready to see it happen. I'm here to check it out, and hopefully it goes over huge. I'm ready for it.
Before we switch over to John, Brian, one question. Sure. Isn't one of these kids supposed to be, like, real young compared to everybody else? Like a kid? Because I'm not seeing this in that group shot. There's, like, what, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6?
Yeah. I mean, obviously there is the thing where, hey, we got to make these kids at least old enough that it doesn't feel entirely creepy if we wedge in a romance angle. So they obviously were a little aged up. Granted, it's been a little while since I fucking read the book, so you'll forgive me if I don't remember exactly.
No. I get with making them, like, let's say nominally 16, 17, whatever. But, I mean, within the context of the book itself, wasn't one of the kids, like, 10?
Yeah, I think it was Molly Hayes. I'm pretty sure it was Molly Hayes.
And which one of these kids was she? Is she the one in the pink?
She... Fuck. Oh, Jesus.
The goth chick, the one with the purple hair, and a girl wearing the pink jacket.
It's the, it's well, actually, Molly Hayes is supposed to be the Hispanic girl, Allegra Acosta. Although they changed her to Molly Hernandez for the Runaway series. They diversified her. In case you missed it. Yeah. What I'm really looking forward to seeing go over is the character of Gert, because basically the way to describe her is social justice warrior, and we both know how well those go over with comic book fans. So
if you're
I'm really
using
looking for-
the term social justice warrior for your fuck you
in the character description.
Fuck
in
you.
The character description.
That didn't need to be there. Look. That's a fucking stupid thing that idiot people like Ian Miles Chong say. It's not a real fucking word. God. Damn it, these fucking PR idiots. Jesus.
You mean like alt-right conservative? That kind of description?
Yeah, Ian Miles Chong, exactly. That
I have no
asshole.
Idea who that is anyway.
He's
so
one of those people. He's a fucking idiot. That's all you need to know.
Ah, okay, fair enough. So he's like John. Whoa!
But, watermelon. Yeah, I mean, obviously,
hey.
Now older, so, but, I mean, I'm like I said, I'm game for it. I mean, the kids look like they can act, so I'll give them a shot, you know. Yeah, all right, there it is. Yeah, I'm good.
John, in two words, what did you, you didn't see it, did you?
No, but I was going to make a Flock of Seagulls joke, but it got ruined, so there we go.
All right, well, quit talking now, so that way your connection doesn't go bad again. You got to save your
okay.
You got to save your line. So let's move on to the next trailer, which is the one that that kind of came out of nowhere, which is the New Mutants trailer. It's coming out April of next year, and when they said it was going to be a horror movie, they weren't kidding. It's going to be a horror movie. I don't know how to feel, because I did not, like, I recognize Magic because of how, one, you know, the hairstyle. I couldn't recognize any other character. Like, I couldn't tell you. Maybe the brown chick was Danny Moonstar, but that's just from Process of Elimination. Like, it was a good trailer, but, like, I understand that they want to go for a horror and not superhero-y, but these people, they're still mutants. Like, it's just weird. And we didn't get to see the Demon Bear, which I think that's probably a good thing, because, you know, you want to say that for the trailer. I don't even know if you saw the Demon Bear in the fucking book. I never read that book. I never read it back when it came out.
Yeah, you did.
Okay, he did.
Okay,
but maybe they didn't want to show it because, you know, obviously, it's probably going to be like Jaws where you don't see it, but when you do see it, it'll freak the fuck out. I don't know. I don't know how to feel about it. It looks good. It looks fine. I don't have a strong attachment to the New Mutants. You know, they can all die in a fire for all I care. But I mean, we're all going to see this because of the fucking, you know, the contract we all signed with Mephisto that we review every single Marvel movie that comes out, so. so, I don't know. I thought it was all right. It didn't make me get more excited, but it looks like a bland horror movie. Like, I was kind of expecting some kind of twist on it, right, other than, you know, them saying, mutants, like in a very sort of serious voice. Like, there has to be something else for me to... Otherwise, it's just a generic-ass horror movie. You can't just make a generic-ass horror movie. You have to give me something, you know, something special to look forward to, especially because you're dealing with mutants. I mean, considering that, you know, the current It movie is the king of horror right now, so... I don't know. I don't know how to feel. I'm going to sell it right now. I don't know how to fucking feel. Taser, you were a spryly 50-year-old when the New Mutants first came out. What did you think of this trailer?
First of all, fuck you, I was a 79-year-old when this New Mutants came out. So, suck it. Anyway,
79?
When, yeah, 79. I'm 112 now. But
not
no,
old.
I collected all of, yeah, actually, yeah, almost every issue of New Mutants Volume 1. And I love the Demon Bear storyline because it was a huge departure from basically everything else they had done up to that point. You know, I mean, that was actually a horror tale. You know, the art was completely different. It was mostly centered on Danny. And they ended up catching two characters out of this. The nurse that you saw in the trailer, and there might be a security guard, I don't remember. But they show up later on in the X-Men books you know, having stuck around because the demon bear changed them. The trailer here, it looked like it was supposed to be a horror tale, but it just showed, like, kids afraid, you know, and dark atmospheres and kids kind of screaming. And I didn't know who was who. I didn't even see a shot of Maisie Williams, you know, and I was kind of looking for that. Yeah, I don't recall seeing Maisie Williams once.
Maisie
was in the very first part of it.
She's Wolfsbane. She's in this picture?
She's Wolfsbane.
She's the furry. Okay.
I was going to make a joke, but no, people would shoot me if I did it. I have to agree with you. This looked kind of generic. You know, I get that this is – I don't know if this is a full trailer or just a teaser to, like, spark up interest. But there was no – forgive the pun. There was no bite here. You know, it looked like something that – I don't know, some TV station might have put together to kind of, you know, gain the attention to this show's coming out or something. But there wasn't anything there to, like, really, you know, hold you. They didn't – no shots of the demon bear. And I think – who was that? Alice Braga, I think, that was playing the nurse. There was a lot of exposition from her, you know. So I was disappointed in no demon bear, no shots of – although I didn't really care that, you know, Maisie Williams wasn't there. And it wasn't spooky, but it looked like it was supposed to be. So
spooky scary? What's spooky scary?
Yeah, and it failed there. You know, it just kind of was like, eh. So I don't know. Maybe the next trailer might actually do it, and this is just the whet your appetite, you know, dip your finger in the pond type thing. But as it is right now, it doesn't sell me on anything, you know? I will see it, of course, because, you know, like we said, we've all sold ourselves to Mephisto. But this does jack shit, you know? I'd give it a 1 if I had to. Really, it gets a 1.
John?
Okay, like I said, I was trying to watch it earlier, but yeah, Maisie Williams was in the very first part of it, but that's about where it stopped for me. But what I saw of it looked good for a generic horror film, but probably have to wait and see on it. I'm looking forward to it because I kind of skipped over the Demon Bear storyline when it first came out simply because, you know, I didn't have a local comic book shop at the time.
I think mid-80s. A lot of people skipped it over, at my guessing.
Yeah, but I mean, but. But
you weren't even born then.
No, Taser and I were in the wilderness, you know, clubbing dinosaurs for meat when, you know, this came out. but if they even do it half, you know, even half the justice to it like it should, it's going to be a pretty good movie. It's going to surprise the shit out of everybody. That's all I can pretty much say on it. I just hope that Fox doesn't foul it up like they've done some of the other stuff.
You know, I know Taser doesn't agree, but I still think Logan was a damn good movie. Deadpool was a damn good movie, so who knows? Maybe they're on something with these experimental X-Men movies. Last but not least, the man who wants to secretly be part of the mutants. What did you think of this trailer?
I thought it was rad, man. I thought it was cool, okay? We need more shit like this, all right?
Okay, look, what other 90s thing are you going to sling now to you, baby boy?
Totally Tubular, brah. Man, you can't see it, but I'm doing the hang loose right now, all right?
You're not even from the West Coast. Not
you asked for it. Bruh, no way. Nah. Okay, look, I thought it was totally awesome, man. Look, the whole thing about the X-Men, we've been getting pretty much the same movie for the better part of a decade, all right? What I'm loving about the current wave of X-Men properties is that we're getting different things, okay? Deadpool was drastically different from any X-Men-related property. So was Legion, which was fucking awesome, all right? The Gifted has some promise in like, the whole The Fugitive meets X-Men, so that's cool. And I'm excited to see what this one will do. I mean, it looks like it's definitely not the Xavier School, and I kind of zoned out on Taser's spiel a little bit, so you'll forgive me if I don't know exactly what the story is supposed to be portraying, but...
Hey!
Hey, look, when old men drone on, I tend to fade out, all right? It's not my fault. It's the way I was raised.
That's all I
now, it almost looks like And actually, the whole thing related to Danny Moonstar made me think of this thing where they would have these schools back in the day, these men's and women's schools, where they would take Native American children and literally train them to be more white, and they would, like, you know, instill hard labor and beat them if they didn't comply. This place almost kind of...
Catholic school.
Actually, yeah, you're not far off. They would teach them Catholicism. So, yeah, that's actually pretty legit. But it almost has that vibe to it where they take these kids, and Danny Moonstar especially, because I'm assuming she's still in this movie. You can't really do it without Danny Moonstar, so I'm going to fact-check that real quick while I talk so it makes it seem like I'm filling with content, but actually I'm just delaying until I can get to them. Yeah, she's in it. So basically what we have is like a locked-in type thing, which I'm all here for. I mean – you can't. These are characters people have been wanting to see, you know, intertwined with the X-Men universe for years, regardless of the setting. You have Cannonball, you have Wolfsbane, you have Magic, you have Sunspot, you have Moonstar, and you have Cecilia Reyes coming in too. So that's cool, man. I'm dying to see these characters get in on it, and I'm also really, really dying to see what kind of twisted, messed up story they may got going on in the background. I'm here for it. All right, anything that is different than the Singer version of the X-Men, I will gladly endorse to a point until I see it, and then fairly pass judgment. But suffice to say, anything new and different, I'm excited. And generally, that has paid off in recent years. Deadpool was probably the best X-related movie, you know, one of the best ones. Legion has been a home run for the X-Men TV franchise, which it was really just – it's the best one, just flat out. Like I said, The Gifted is shaping up to be somewhat promising, and I'm all for seeing this movie. And I'm not really a horror dude, so that kind of – it struck me as different, and, you know, I want to see it. I want to see what this story can bring to the X-Men universe and how it can portray mutant powers in a different way than what we've already seen. And that is something that I'll gladly pay to have my butt in the seat for.
Okay, let us know what you thought of the trailer. So now let's get on to the one that everybody wants to talk about, the one that dropped this morning. That is everybody's new king of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, because Lord knows they've already crowned him, and he is an actual king. We got a new Black Panther trailer. All hail the king.
Hail to the king, baby.
Hail to the king. So, this looks like a better version of Iron Man 1. Like, it's ridiculous. Like, I'm getting Iron Man 1 level vibes from this. And, like, again, I'm looking at my shelf right now. We've had almost 9 years of MCU films, but Iron Man 1 is still highly rated, right? It's still great. And we've all heard, well, this feels like Iron Man. This feels like it's going to have, I don't know about the sort of, like, quirkiness, but in terms of that excitement, because, like, this is getting people, not just us, but people everywhere seem to be excited about Black Panther. More so than any other Marvel universe. It's not like a big crossover event. The trailer looks great. One weird thing, though, why the fuck doesn't Michael B. Jordan have an accent? Because like,
he's from the hood, yo. Yo.
Because it's like, you have Chadwick Boseman, who, because again, when Civil War came out and we knew Black Panther was going to be in it, I thought, nah, they're going to be lazy. They didn't give Black Widow an accent, and they're not going to give Chadwick Boseman, Black T'Challa, oh, they gave him an accent.
Whatever black guy's name is, God save him.
Chadwick Boseman, I know his name, and I didn't think they were going to give him an accent, right, because they didn't give Black Widow a Russian accent. And if he did, he was gonna suck. No, he has a very good accent that he's consistent with. But like Michael B. Jordan
he
comes up,
it too.
Yeah, and Michael B. Jordan comes out and is like, I'm gonna burn it down, y'all. I'm like, holy shit, what the fuck? And I'm personally my theory is that Michael B. he's playing Warmonger. That's his character. That's the character he's playing, right? I think.
I think so. I'm gonna check that real quick, but
yeah. But either way, I'm thinking that he's gonna be like. This is definitely going to be a political
Killmonger.
Driven movie. Yeah, this is definitely going to be a political driven movie because it's a Black Panther. You're dealing with a monarchy and a nation. Unlike, you know, even Thor didn't even deal with that. It was more about humility. This is going to be more about politics, like I have a feeling. And I have a feeling that Michael B. Jordan's character, Killmonger, I don't have much experience, so I could be wrong. But at least in this version, in this movie, he's going to be sort of like this outcast Wakandan who is probably, his family is probably exiled to America or some other country. And that's why, and like, he's coming back because he's resentful of what the royal family did to him. He's resentful that Wakanda holds their secrets. By the way, Wakanda looks just as fucking cool as it should be.
Mm-hmm.
Because Like, uh-huh. Wakanda's, like, one of those things you don't see a lot. We don't, I mean, recently we have. But it's, like, one of those, like, holy sights of the Marvel Universe you've always wanted to see. And it looks just as badass at all. It's, like, this awesome mix of jungle atmosphere with this super hi-fi, sci-fi tech is so cool. I love it. Ah, God, February, bring it on. I know we're all excited for Thor Ragnarok. Coming out in a month, less than a month from now, but goddamn, give me fucking Black Panther. Give me this movie. Make him the lead of the Avengers after the Infinity War thing is over with. But let's go to Taser, because you're a resident black man. What did you think of Black Panther?
Yes, let's get the black opinion first. Because
can we get like one of those news stickers that has it?
The representative of the black delegation, the floor is now yours.
As opposed to the guy on Facebook yesterday who said that I didn't understand something because I wasn't black. Wow. So yeah, that you know, that's still actually kind of bothering me a bit. But anyway, moving right along.
You should get one of those news stickers that has like your name on it, and underneath it says like what you do or how you're related to whatever incident it is, and just says actual black guy underneath it. Like yeah, that's his qualifications right there, folks.
He's black, y'all, and that's a fact, y'all.
Yeah, I'm beanie black beanie, you know, all of that shit. No, I gotta be honest. I wasn't as jazzed about this full trailer as I was with the first one. Part of it was the medley that they used using what was it? The Revolution Will Not Be Televised. They updated the beat a bit. That didn't really come off too well for me. The cuts and scenes that they used in this one, you know, more, you know, a little bit more Michael B. Jordan, but there was one shot which kind of fucked everything up, and it was earlier in the trailer. We see, I believe it's him and his sister, and there's two Black Panther outfits. So, yep. And I'm thinking, ooh, does she get in costume too? Because duo Black Panthers, yay, I could enjoy that shit. And then later on in the trailer, and I don't want to ruin it for anybody who hasn't seen it yet, we see Michael B. Jordan do something that I think they really should have kept that for the movie, you know?
Yeah.
Nice how he did it.
I agree.
Yeah, okay, yeah. And it was nice how he did it. I kind of went, oh shit, and then I went, oh, fuck.
Well,
you know?
I will say that to that Taser, I don't think, I'm looking at it right now. I don't think that's the same thing. I think you still might get your wish of double Black Panther. Or if that's the case, if not double Black Panther, I don't think Michael B. Jordan is doing a thing that you think he's doing.
No, he does the thing that I'm saying it because we watch him do it. Okay, we watch him do it, and it's.
Saying it looks different. It doesn't look the same, and it's a quick cutaway before, so I'm just saying.
Well, there's other, but see, what I'm saying is there's other cuts in this trailer that shows them going at each other, and he did, and apparently this has got to be the follow-up to the Michael B. Jordan thing, and you know, I just wish they had kept that quiet, you know? So that's something that you come across in the movie. You're like, oh, you know what I mean? But it's kind of ruined here, and that dipped it a bit, quite a bit for me in this trailer. A lot of the scenic shots and stuff, okay, yeah, they look good, but the music didn't really, you know, work for me as much as Legend Has It by Run the Jewels. I still fucking love that. I still fucking love that trailer.
I was half hoping for, I don't know if you guys ever heard of this guy. His name is Jedenna. He was featured on Luke Cage in one of the episodes. He did Long Live the Chief. I was waiting for that to drop in. I would have been fucking awesome if that dropped in. That or some more Run the Jewels. You can't go wrong with Killer Mike and LP. I'll say that right now.
Yeah, I agree. But I still want to see this movie. Don't get me wrong. This movie has got my money. I am there whichever day gives me, whichever Thursday it comes out on, because it's going to come out on a Thursday for like two showings and then, you know, full release on Friday. I'm there Thursday. Okay, this movie has me. I'm already in its pocket. You know, I'm being spent in the corner store. There's no worries about my desire to watch this film. I'm just saying that this full trailer, you know, kind of reveals something that I really wish that they had kept, you know, for the movie itself. You know, and even though it was nice what we see him, Michael B. Jordan's character do, I was, oh shit, you know. But like I said, it was that thing that just went, no, that's, yeah, you went a little too far there. But, you know, like I said, be that as it may, I still want to see the movie, you know. So nothing's changed, you know, in regards to me and that.
Mm. All right. John, what did you think of Black Panther?
Oh, dear God, I'm looking forward to it. Like everybody's saying, February can't get here, you know, quick enough. And I guess for the lack of accent, he's probably still channeling his Johnny Storm from Fantastic Four stick, you know, which is why.
He did say he's going to burn it all to the ground.
Hey!
Yep.
Oh, hold on. Sorry, John, let me just say this.
No problem.
Killmonger was born in Wakanda, but mostly raised in New York. So that would probably be why he doesn't really have the accent. So because I actually was looking now.
No, that's all right.
While I was giving my
dad, he probably can't so quite do the accent.
Yeah, yeah. I could buy that. Also, it saves Michael B. Jordan from having to do the accent. Okay, John, you go ahead, man.
No, but it looks like, you know, Wakanda looks like what I always thought it would. Everything else just is clicking. Of course, Chadwick Boseman, I cannot wait to see him. He was one of my favorite parts of Civil War, aside from Tom Holland. I'm ready. They've got my money. If I can't see it Thursday night, I plan on seeing it that Friday, first showing as quick as I can. So here we go. Two snaps and a, you know, sideways and up.
And a watermelon, right?
No, fried chicken.
With grape
Let's
soda.
Let's move on. So needless to say, we're all excited for the Black Panther trailer coming out. Black Panther trailer, for the most part, we're all still excited for the Black Panther movie coming out in February 2018. February 16th, I believe, is the official release date. It's only, by the time before Ragnarok comes out, it'll only be 2 months away. So we're not that far off from it.
We got a shit ton of movies to watch.
Can Brian voice his opinion, please?
Oh no. Yeah. No, you're white. You don't matter. Let's move on.
Aww. They got white people in this movie. They got Martin Freeman in this one, you know.
They got Claw in there, but he played an ape. I mean, come on.
I mean, it looks fucking rad. There you go, more 90s lingo for you. You're welcome.
Peace, motherfucker.
Fair enough. I'm just super stoked to see Chadwick Boseman, because he basically has played every black guy leading up to this point. I was looking at his filmography. He's played Jackie Robinson, he's playing Thurgood Marshall, he's played James Brown, and he's also played a nameless college athlete, and now he's going to be Black Panther. So this dude is basically representative of most, if not all, of black history. So sure, why not him? But yeah, I thought the Killmonger thing was funny, and I do miss some RTJ in the background, because god damn it, just doesn't have the same punch. But I mean, I love the little things that actually work to humanize him too, because, you know, he has the whole dichotomy of he's a king, but he's also just kind of a guy. You know, he got forced into being king last movie. So, but there was little moments when he does a little secret handshake with Shuri. I thought that was pretty cool. You know, playing up the whole brother sister thing. And I just fucking Wakanda. I mean, I don't know why I asked, because everything that I'm saying has pretty much already been said, but suffice to say that I'm jazzed for this. So, and I realize using the word jazzed may not be the best way to... No, it would be... Yeah, jazzed is good. I like jazzed.
Well, better than saying it's the live-action Lion King remake, yeah.
Mm. That is happening with Donald Glover behind the voice of Simba, so, you know. So, yeah. Cool. All right. Okay, now I'm
done. We're all excited for Black Panther. Let us know what you thought of these trailers in the comments below. All right, so let's get on to individual reviews. First up, the two old men decide to co-review Spirits of Vengeance number one. Is the Hispanic Robbie Reyes the ghostwriter in here? Is he part of this book?
No, it's not. It's Johnny Blaze.
Oh, thank God.
OG. Although he kind of looks like it, depending on the art. Oh, Teza.
I'm sorry, what?
We're up. Spirit of Vengeance.
Oh, we're doing... Oh, okay, I'm sorry. I was actually doing something else. I killed my mic. I wasn't listening. Go ahead.
Comment.
Were you watching Born?
No, not this time.
Hey!
This time, he says.
Yeah, it's true. Okay. Not this time. Okay, we're doing Spirit of Vengeance? Okay. I liked it. You know, the story didn't drag. The art was decent. They kind of fixed Hellstrom because even before, you know, the Marvel Universe went Mark II, Hellstrom was kind of like that guy who had been somebody of prominence, and then for whatever reason, writers decided to give him issues. Ever since him and Hellcat got a divorce, he had issues. You know, he was a drunkard.
You'd be upset too if Patsy Walker divorced your ass, you know?
Well, the TV version, no. The comic book version, maybe. But,
either or for me.
Well, hey, fair enough. But no, but it was like, you know, he was a drunkard, I think, at one point. And then, you know, he would just start showing up with, like, this cloak and pants and no shirt. And people were like, what the fuck, you know? Here, he plays like, what the hell? Jason Blood. No, he plays like Jason Blood from DC.
I was going to say Constantine, but same thing, yeah.
Oh, Constantine? Really? Constantine, you think? Fair enough. I'm not going to argue that because I'm not too familiar with Constantine in the books. But to me, more Jason Blood, you know? And he's very reserved here. And he's kind of playing it like, hello?
Yes.
Hello.
So everything kind of went dead for me. I thought I got dropped or something. He's kind of playing like Stephen Strange too, actually. You know, like a very, very well-read and somebody that you would seek advice from, you know, and apparently very powerful, but they're reserved. I liked it. I liked this version of the character. I'm glad that they did that. Everything starts off with Johnny Blaze. Yay! The original is back. Johnny Blaze is trying to, you know, enjoy a beer, and this guy walks into the bar, sits next to Johnny. Apparently, he acts familiar to him. Johnny's like, "Who the fuck are you?" And pulls out a bullet and combusts right there. You know, people are like, "Ah!" You know, whatever. And Johnny's kind of like, "Oh, huh." Yeah, I guess I'm going to have to take care of this. And he leaves, finds Hellstrom because the combustion dude told him to do so, runs into some demons along the way, and they're like, "Hey, Blaze, you suck. We're demons. We're better than you." Blaze kicks their ass. Then him and Hellstrom, they go about different places, you know, trying to figure out info because whatever was in that bullet slug, we're not actually told, but Hellstrom's like, "Oh, this is serious. Well, we're going to have to go over here." And Blaze is like, "We?" So it becomes a buddy trip thing. And they go to different characters and different places, part of which is New York, of course. And they keep getting these ill portents, you know. At one point, they're told that there's some bad juju coming. It's been a couple of thousand years, so the thing is coming again. Everything's going full circle. We're clearing out. You'd better do the same thing, too. That's really the meat of this book, and then Hellstrom ends up making a phone call to bum 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 Blade, you know, who is taking out a couple of
it still is Texas.
Well, yeah, because a couple of vampires were robbing a bank. They were robbing a bank and using guns. Go fucking figure. So he kills the vampires and he gets the phone call and you know, it's like oh. And now don't get me wrong, I like Blade the character, but Blade again is really, you know, vampire hunter, you know, vampires. You know, we're talking deep, dark magic here. So, yeah, you could put Blade in that, and he's your quick action guy. But I don't know. I think there's a couple other characters I would rather have put in that position. But yeah, be that as it may, this is what we got to deal with. And we also get one more character. I'm not sure if she is who I think she is. Because if so, that character's dead. But then again, we're looking at Marvel Universe Mark II. So, you know, you can forget a whole lot of things.
Yeah, it's his sister.
Really? Damn.
Yep.
Damn, damn, damn. Okay, well, there you go. The succubus is back.
Santana.
Yeah. It the book itself actually moves along pretty good. You know, I dare say I actually enjoyed it, you know. I would definitely pick up the next one.
Yep. I was going to say, I agree with Taser. It moved quick, you know, and they made the joke about how it's been a couple of weeks since the last time they had to do anything about, you know, the end of existence as we know it, you know, for the 20th time. The art was very cartoony, but it was good cartoony, so I liked it. Nice to see Johnny Blaze back as, you know, the OG Ghost Rider. Not that I have anything wrong with Reyes, you know, but it's nice to see the original, the one that started it all. And I'm going to try to pick up number two because I like Ghost Rider. Hellstrom was one of my favorite characters from back in the Defenders before they wussified him out when he married a Hellcat.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm looking forward to it. I give it at least the 3.5 out of 5 warriors.
Yeah, and if I had to give it a review number, actually I'd give it a 4. 4 warriors out of 5.
Yep.
And I totally skipped over the problem characters that was in this Necrodamus and
I thought you were gonna say Negro for a second. I'm like, whoa, is that still appropriate to say?
Well, hey, it was in a Marvel comic, so why not?
Hey,
the voice city
and Razan. One looks like, actually they both look like demons. So one's a female, and the Undertaker. No, what was it? Paul Bearer. The Paul Bearer looking guy.
Oh,
he conjures up.
Yeah.
Oh, the one that kind of looks like Mojo. Yeah,
exactly. And the one who conjured up that hellhound for Razan. Nah, that actually, you know, that was like, oh, that looks like it's going to be a problem. And that's kind of what helped sell it. So, you know. Yeah, interesting. It's got a hook, and that's really what the book needs for me, at least in the first issue. You know, it needs that hook.
You gotta love the joke that the one place they go talk to people was the Wall Street Club in the financial district.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wall Street is full of demons. Yeah.
Yeah, that kind of makes sense.
I'm not surprised one bit.
But yeah, solid book, in my opinion.
Okay, before we move on to Brian, I just have to do my Paul Bearer impersonation of acting as a manager for the Challenging Ghost Rider in Survivor Series. Thing. Oh, Ghost Rider, you think you still mint souls, but at Survivor Series, Oh, my Undertaker will take your soul. Oh, yes. There you go. That's one.
So now that sounds like listening to porn.
Almost sounded like you were channeling Herbert from Family Guy, but that was actually pretty good.
Dude, Paul Bear is only
fair,
like 2 degrees removed.
Paul Bear is a fucking, at least his character was fucking creepy. He probably wasn't doing porn or something.
So was Percy Pringle, but that was a whole other story.
On them children. He's climbing your windows, hiding your kids, hide your wives, because Paul Bear is climbing your windows, stealing your souls and putting them in his urn. Mm-hmm.
This has been Memes from 2012 with Brian Powers. Speaking of Brian Powers, hey, we're not going to go to him now. We're going to go back to me because fuck Brian.
What's going on? You said my name.
I'm not reviewing X-Men Blue number 13 because I want to talk about Hulk number 11, the soon-to-be renamed She-Hulk number 150-something. So I've been reading this series since the beginning. I've sort of liked Jen Walters sort of dealing with her trauma ever since she got knocked into a coma by Thanos because of the shitty event on the Civil War 2. Because
that's what Thanos does, knock you into a coma. He doesn't just kill you anymore. He just incapacitates you for a little while.
He just beats the living fuck out of you. That was awesome.
So here's what was interesting, though, is that this entire series has sort of been like very serious, very, like a little couple of jokes, but for the most part, very, very straightforward. If you've read She-Hulk from the 1980s by John Byrne, you know that She-Hulk, Jennifer Walters, is very famous for her fourth wall breaking, right? It was a thing, mm-hmm. And for whatever reason in this issue, it was She-Hulk goes on a date, right? She-Hulk goes on a date.
Cool.
So it's like, okay, that's a little weird, that's fine. Trying to get her love life back together, considering it's, you know, been a mess, her whole life's been a mess. Okay, I get it. The entire issue was nothing but, out of nowhere, fourth wall breaking. Like, the text would be like there are these pink text boxes that'd be like, well, like, tip cheesy romance shit. And Jen would grab, She-Hulk would grab the boxes and flew it away. And just look at the camera and look at the reader. I'm like, wait, why are we doing this now? Like, it just comes out of nowhere. There's no, look, I'm nothing against it because it was a fine issue, but it was just like, wait, why are we doing this now? And then I remembered, oh yeah, it's Marvel Legacy. That's probably why. Thank you for fucking, it's just such a, like, it was so abrupt that it kind of hurt the story for me because I was already used to this tone for 10 issues, right? And then this happens and like, it's fun, don't get me wrong, but it's just like, there was no, if they had throughout the series done like little subtle moments of Jen winking at the camera, but you can't do that with a story like this when you're dealing with a woman who's going through this trauma. It felt fucking weird. Like, and I know She-Hulk has done this before, right? But in the context of what's going on, it felt fucking weird. And then like her date turns out to be a bad person and they fight people and all that shit. And next issue they're gonna renumber it and everything. I don't know. Like, I don't know what the writer was thinking or if it was a Marvel mandate or whatever. But it was just like, through 10 issues break the fourth wall. So why now? So if it happens in the next issue, then I'm like, oh, okay, this is what they were doing. The art was fine. The art's been getting worse ever since the first arc. It's just been filling artists. The original artist still hasn't come back on, and that's disappointing.
Yeah, I think the original artist probably said, yeah, I'm getting off this shit. Because that book is garbage.
The book is not garbage.
The book is shit. It took her, what, 8 issues to actually turn into the Hulk? What? It took so long to resolve that one issue. More than half a year. Fuck you! Not you, Brian, but the writer. I understand that this book is going in a different direction than most other books. I understand that Jen Walters, the character, they want to take and explore her pain and the trauma of having to deal with having lost her cousin, having had her ass severely beat by Thanos. And she's no longer queen shit like she used to think she was. Because you can't deny that. Jennifer Walters got off on being She-Hulk.
Well, okay, yes. There was actually a page where, like, she was remembering all her past lovers. like every one of them.
Let me guess: White Wingfoot, Starfire.
No,
White
hold
Wingfoot,
on, hold
White
on.
White Wingfoot and Juggernaut.
Hold on, Juggernaut was on there. Hold on, I have.
And
the
in ultimate
page.
Reality, her cousin Bruce because he raped her.
Old man Logan gets fucked up, dude. I will give you that. Holy shit.
Hold on. Here's the page. Hercules. I'm pretty sure
Star Fox.
Star Fox. Yeah, Star Fox is on here. I'm pretty sure that's Luke Cage. It's a black guy. I could be wrong.
Tony Stark.
Where's Tony Stark?
Tony Stark should be there.
Tony Stark's not on there.
Tony Stark has not fucked his way across the Marvel universe. Hercules,
it's probably,
but not Tony Stark.
Yeah, but the only ones I'm recognizing are Star Fox and Hercules. There's this werewolf dude in like an archer's uniform. I don't recognize who that is.
Red Wolf?
That would be J. Jonah Jameson's son, Star Wolf.
Yeah, they reference that. And Wyatt Wingfoot's in the bottom left. There's a dude in like a trench coat, so there's Wyatt Wingfoot. So yeah, they go over She-Hulk's like very promiscuous sex life. And then she's sleeping with like this big muscular blonde dude who I don't think it's Thor, but it might be Eric Jolson, that one dude.
I don't think they I don't remember any comic where they ever hooked up, so that would be one of those. Oh yeah, and he and I did stuff. Like
It's never confirmed. It just looks like him. All I'm saying is that the problem I have with this series is that it comes out of nowhere. Like this whole breaking the fourth wall came out of nowhere.
Well, the problem I had with the series was the damn writer. There you go.
Yeah, I mean, I liked it, and this issue was not good in terms of like, well, what the fuck did this come from? Brian, close out the fucking show, please.
Oh, hey, it's me, and I'm reviewing Iron Fist number 73 with the new Legacy renumbering. I think it was actually supposed to be number 7, but whatever. So this is the issue that's been hyped up for a couple months now. It is the team-up, so to speak, of Iron Fist and Sabretooth, because for those of you who don't know, Sabretooth originally debuted in Iron Fist, not in Wolverine or X-Men or any other fucking
number?
X-Men book. What?
What issue number?
What?
What issue number?
I don't fucking know. What do I look like, a fucking encyclopedia?
Suck as a Marvel fan. You should know it already.
You know what? I don't need this, okay? I don't need this from you, of all people, and you know why, because you are old. There, yeah. I said it.
I'm going to go, and I'm going to get some blackjack and hookers.
And I take a thought, forget the blackjack. Oh, jeez. I love you, man. Anyway, we have Ed Brisson as writing and Mike Perkins on artwork. And the last couple issues were filler with Shang-Chi, really. But what we got here is the guy who supposedly set Iron Fist up to take a fall in this Kung Fu tournament. Sorry, John, by the way, if this is going to spoil anything. Cho-san.
That's okay.
Yeah. He was imprisoned by the people of Lushi, I believe that's how you pronounce the island name. And he's freed by a couple of their own immortal weapons, particularly the Eel character. Oh, God, what the fuck is his name? Hold on, I have it here. Eel of Blessed Waters and Rat of 12 Plagues. So they're in Cho-Sun's camp as far as taking Iron Fist out of the game and trying to win their island's way back into the Eternal City of Kunlun. Also, don't know where I missed it, but Danny Rand has a dragon in a cage in his apartment. So, yeah. That's a thing. He feeds it kind of like the T-Rex from Jurassic Park. I really don't know where that came from.
Maybe it's the offspring of Shao Lao.
It has to be. It's the only explanation I come up with, but it wasn't covered in any of the other issues. So, to my point, if you were just jumping onto this series, like I am, and not having read the last by Carr Kyle Andrews, I think it was, he just has a dragon in his apartment for no fucking reason. I really don't get it, but whatever. So Danny Rand returns to his apartment after almost dying in a death cult in Vancouver when he discovers something's been taken from him. And after he realizes who might have taken it, he goes to recruit help in the way of Sabretooth. The two basically wreck a dive bar until they agree to come to terms once Sabretooth is given the only piece of evidence that Danny Rand has as to who may have been the one behind the theft. Now, the issue ends with Cho-Sun, who is again a conspirator against Danny Rand, coming to New York and meeting up with Constrictor of the Serpent Society. Now, the picture that we see him, give to Sabretooth contains what looks to be like a tentacle, a tendril type thing, slashing at a camera before it ultimately gets destroyed. And I think it's a feint. I think it's a bait and switch. I don't think it is Constrictor, because I don't think Constrictor died, and Sabretooth said, it's impossible. The person you think it is was dead. I watched him die. I watched him get buried. I think it's going to be Omega Red. I think they're going to bring Omega Red.
Yes!
They don't explicitly state it.
Well, hold on. Hold on. I'm going to debunk you right now, because they recently retried to bring back Omega Red in X-Men Gold, and that didn't work out. So
fair enough.
Omega Red was already back, and he's gone, so fuck you.
What I have is what looks to be like one of those little tentacle things he had on his hand. I'm pretty sure that's what it is. Granted, they're playing it up like they're not going to tell you right away, and I think Constrictor's a bait and switch. So
it's not Dr. Octopus instead?
I'm pretty sure it's not. Why would Sabretooth care about Dr. Octopus? It's someone
Why
who
would
Sabretooth
care
knows,
about,
knows and has a history with. They play that up very very closely, because that's specifically why he goes to Sabretooth. And the only person I can think of who meets that bill is Omega Red, but who knows? So
okay.
I guess we're going to have to wait and see, because whoever it was apparently was sophisticated enough that he broke into Danny Rand's apartment, which got past Stark-developed security measures, a fucking dragon, and only got caught on one camera, didn't trip a single alarm. So I don't know if Omega Red has that finesse, but hey, if it is him, we'll see. That being said, though, I thought it was a solid issue back. Like I said, the last couple of issues were filler. I'm glad we're back into the main storyline, and I'm glad Sabretooth is being involved. I love this team up. I think it's going to go over gangbusters, hopefully, with Ed Brisson writing it, because he writes perfectly for this series. And Mike Perkins does great artwork on this as well. He has a shady kind of gritty feel to it. I wouldn't exactly compare it to Franco Franciavella, because who can be compared to him? But it's got like a shadowy kind of grittier look to it, you know. And I think it's a great issue. So I gave it 4 out of 5. It's a decent issue back. It's a couple things I kind of glossed over, but that's all right. I mean, I was able to move past it without much issue, but. They're definitely setting up a long game story here, and I will keep you in the loop, Commander Eggleston, if they actually do end up bringing back Omega Red. I will let you know. So, should be fun.
Let me ask you one question before we jump and kill the show. Did they mention the little girl at any point in this so far?
What little girl?
The girl from Iron Fist. The other Iron Fist book where he has the little girl who's supposed to be the next Iron Fist.
There has not been a single mention of any other person Iron Fisting anything except for Danny Rand. They went to Li Shi, the island with the Kung Fu tournament set up with the Kunlun exiles, but they're all exiles. They were never there to begin with. They're all new characters. There was that thing with Shang-Chi, and they were he's been out and about. This is the first time back in New York actually, revisiting his life, so to speak. So to say that there's been no mention of really anything from Carr Kyle Andrews' run, because his was the last, I don't know if that was where you're getting it from, but
no, you don't remember that book that came out? There was a second book about Danny Rand coming into being the guardian of a young girl who's supposed to be the next Iron Fist.
No, I've never read that. I don't remember.
Oh, wow. Okay. No, I think that book came out either this year or late last year. I think it's still being put out, too.
I got nothing for you, man. Sorry.
Okay, fair enough.
But suffice to say, no mention of little girls anywhere. It's just...
no little girls?
Little girls. No. No little girls.
My God, no little girls?
Just big shirtless men who like touching each other. You know, that's really all it was. That's all.
Look, John's not even here to talk about pro wrestling, okay?
Hey, it's not wrestling. This is real, okay? But yeah, it was a good issue. I give it 4 out of 5. If you like Iron Fist, jump on for the next arc. It's sure to be fun. And hey, if you're not John, who doesn't live in the middle of fucking nowhere, Oklahoma, you can probably find back issues, even though John can't. So pick up the last arc, and you can kind of skip over the Shang-Chi stuff, unless you're actually a really fan of those characters. But it's good. Good stuff.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to do it for this episode of the Mighty Warriors Tomorrow podcast. Both of you plug fucking Facebook.
I think, and I speak for all of us, we would like to thank all of the likes that our last two shows have gotten.
Yeah, we've been getting a ton of traffic. It's been unprecedented. So
yeah, we actually really appreciate it. We're happy that you people enjoy the show. We're happy to do the show because we've been doing it for a long time. And all around, we're glad that you enjoy it. That, you know, I mean, no need to really drag this out. There've been some callbacks. You know, people who've, you know, liked and, you know, have come back and liked a couple of loves, you know, which...
We even had a couple comments here and there, the straight comments coming in from people.
Yeah, actually, yeah, that no, that's true. You know, I'm glad that you like it. There you go. I'm glad that you're digging it. I'm glad that you're enjoying it.
Yeah.
If we're doing something that you, if you want to see more of, like we can make more fun of Iggy and his non-Hispanicness, we can do that. We don't mind
at
all.
Actually, touching upon that for a second, can we comment on the fact that demographic has been following us has been largely Hispanic, or you know, it's been a lot of Hispanic people actually, and a lot of people based out of Mexico City. So that's been, I don't know why in particular. I feel like it's kind of like Spinal Tap, where they get big in Japan for no fucking reason. So,
maybe it's because the lead of the show
is a Hispanic man.
There you go.
Hey,
look, all I'm saying is that Mexico Comic Cons, pay for our flights, we'll come to your show. Cause the Mexican
I'd love to see Mexico City, man. Fuck yeah. You know?
As long as I'm not near the cartels. All right. Let's get the fuck out of here.
Thank you guys for liking the show. There you go.
Thanks so
much.
We're on Facebook at the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast. We share news. We're in aggregate, so we pull from everywhere. Once again, the Mighty Warriors 3 Marvel Podcast on Facebook. Obviously, we got a WordPress site with all the blogs that gets regularly updated by the big boss man over here. And we troll around on Twitter ourselves. I am at No Mr. Powers. John Judd is at Gamera Smith. Ben, you got your own Twitter and shit you can plug, so I'll let you take care of that.
At Marvelous Iggy.
Yeah, that's the one. And, follow us. You know, we tend to reblog a lot of Marvel and comic-related stuff, so even if it's not explicitly Marvel Comics-related, you're probably getting some comic news in there. And, you know, we'd love to have more people to come along with us. So, yeah. Thank you. Thank you all.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we'll see y'all in 2 weeks for a regular show. And then after that, another 2 weeks, we'll finally be able to talk about Thor Ragnarok.
Thor!
Ooh, I think my nipples just got hard.
Alright. We'll see y'all in 2 weeks, ladies and gentlemen. #StayMarvelous.
#FuckDonaldTrump.